All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brandon Crawford. Great guy. It really is. It was a lot of fun to talk to him about his trip and the safari. Well, the Giants still in batting practice as we look down at the field there in Winton Bernard. And he made a nice play yesterday in left field. He's got a good arm. Made a nice play. He was in late in the game. Trevor Brown down there as well. There's John Miller, Mike Kruko talking to the boss, Bruce Bochy. As some of the WBC guys have already gone. Bam Bam is already in Korea. Dave Greshner, the trainer, is there. Tyra, the bullpen catcher, went along as well. But we're joined by one of our good friends, and I was just telling him, and this is our 20th year sort of celebration. I've gone back over the winter to listen to a lot of the shows I did years ago, and I came across an interview that I did with Paul White of USA Today, and he was the founder of it, a tremendous baseball magazine, and it was 2001. And there was there I was with Paul White talking about the All-Star Game, and Paul's suggestion was the U.S. should play the world. So it put some interest in the game, but he's live with us today, and surprise, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, Marty. It's good to be back at spring training.
Yeah, yeah, I love having you here, and it's just... Surprise. I like this ballpark. It reminds me of the little thing in Cooperstown a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I was driving out here with my wife today, and I said, you know, when they built this place, it was the end of the world. It was 20 miles from nowhere, and everybody wondered, what the heck are they going out there for? But 10 years before that, that's what they said about Peoria.
I know. Well, there's a better way to get out here now.
Yeah.
There's
the
10 to the 303, which gets you here, so it's a little more direct. Well, it is spring training, and what brings you to Arizona? Because I've been following your son's soccer career here for ages, and now he's really, developed.
Well, what's going on? He's part of the Olympic Development Program. He's on the Virginia State team, and they won the Region 1, which is the 13 states in the Northeast.
Wow.
Which brought them, he's a U-16, he brought them to the National Final Four, which is being held here this weekend. They played yesterday in the semis, got beaten 2-0 by Minnesota, so they'll play Florida in the third-place game tomorrow.
Wow, what a thrill. Yeah, I've followed his career, because remember, we would have you on the show, and we'd have to find you in the forest somewhere, you know, where you were driving out to one of his games. So I'm glad that brings you down here. What's some of your thoughts about some of the Eastern teams? Because I know you're back East, and we don't get much Grapefruit League action out here.
Right.
Well, what's some of your take?
Well, you know, the National League is so divided. I mean, we've got, you know, you've got two legit teams in the West, two, maybe three in the Central if you think the Pirates are still any good, and two in the East, the Mets and the Nationals. And I think the biggest question in the National League, is there anybody else who can jump into the party? Washington and New York are going to battle it out. Washington has to figure out a bullpen. New York has to hope they have a starting rotation that's healthy. I mean, we know how good those guys are if they're all there.
Yeah.
If they're all there, I think the Mets are the best team in the East.
Well, yeah, let's stop there for a second because, you know, look, they were a World Series team against this Kansas City Royal team the year before, and then everything went south on them. Harvey, I don't know what his situation will be this year. DeGrom got hurt, and it really fell on Syndergaard and Lugo. And other people.
Bartolo Colon basically bailed him out. Yeah. And, you know, and everybody forgets Zach Wheeler. He may very well be back. Steven Matz turned into a pretty good pitcher. They found some other guys Robert Kesselman, that filled in those roles. It didn't get them where they wanted to last year, but suddenly they're pretty deep. If those frontline guys are healthy, now they have those middle guys. And, you know, a kid named Rafael Montero, who was a great prospect 2-3 years ago, had injuries, has apparently looked fabulous this spring again. I mean, those guys could be part of, you know, this new trend to all those middle guys, long relief guys, the depth you kind of want. And we see Washington doing the same thing. They signed Joe Blanton this week. It could very well fill out their rotation, but is he one of those guys that fits through the middle, because they don't have a closer.
No.
They have no idea. Well, are they going to use seven guys? I just can't see Dusty doing that. You know, I have a hard time seeing him getting comfortable with that.
There's something about that Washington team, whether it's Bryce Harper, whatever it is, Zimmerman, and you live back there. Yeah. You see a lot of their games. There's just something about them. It just doesn't connect for me.
You know what? It never has connected in that clubhouse since that the first year they made that run to the playoffs and all the hoo-ha about shutting down Steven Strasburg, and they were like, we're okay, we're going to be in this for a long time, and they're in it. But that was a very tight team, and they were thriving on that. Look at us, here we come, a lot of energy, and it's been gone since then. And I had a couple guys there tell me, you know what we miss? We miss Mark DeRosa, who was on that original team. They don't have that glue in the clubhouse, that guy. Ryan Zimmerman talks kind of privately about, you know, if I stand up or Jason Wirth stands up and turns over the buffet table, they're going to look at us like, that's not your personality. What are you guys doing? You know, he said the energy guys in that team were Harper and at the time Ian Desmond. They had the personalities, but they had too much respect for the veteran players. They wouldn't become the guys in the clubhouse. And it's not a bad clubhouse, but it's not a good clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I think they've lost guys. I think Jordan Zimmerman left there because he just wasn't comfortable there. So I think that's hurt them. And that's one of the reasons they brought Dusty in. They thought, all right, we don't have the player we need to pull this together. If there's a manager out there who can, it's Dusty.
Well, he did it last year.
He did.
And he got away. Strasburg was hurt.
And Harper was horrible.
And he was horrible. And now Scherzer has been hurt this spring. One of our good friends, Ed Kirsch, called me the other day. He said, I want to draft him for my fantasy pick. What about Scherzer? And I didn't know what to tell him.
You know, they keep saying, it's on his hand, okay? And they say, if he's not ready opening day, it's not going to be too late. But, you know, you feel better because we're not talking about a shoulder. We're not talking about an elbow. You know, you hear David Price and his elbow, oh, he doesn't need surgery. Well, we've heard that 99 times. Yeah. We'll see. You know, so I think Scherzer has something that should be fine by the time we get to, I don't know, 1st of May.
All right. Washington's still a little bit dicey.
Yep.
Mets, I think, are, I don't even call them a dark horse because they were a World Series team 2 years ago. And let's shift over to the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Pirates. Every day, I mean, I follow Mark Saxon on Twitter. Every day, the Cardinals story just gets weirder and weirder. Matt Carpenter now pulling out of the WBC. All sorts of pitching injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
What about the Cardinals?
Yeah, it's true. It's again, that's the team that underachieved last year among the good teams in the National League. And you look at them on paper before the season, and you think, all right, they're fine. They're fine. They've got a lot of talent there.
Yeah.
Get it all back together. But they lose Reyes, who's their top young starter. I don't know that they have the depth. They've got some good kids in their system. A kid named Luke Weaver, are they ready to step in and be pennant contending pitchers at this point? Can they fill it out? You know, they may have an advantage in the sense that in that division, all right, you kind of have to think the Cubs are going to win a lot of games and win it fairly handily unless the Cardinals put it all together. So where do the wild cards come from? I think one comes in the West, probably, but whoever's second in the East is going to be involved. And who else is there unless Pittsburgh lines up the starting pitching? If Gerrit Cole is what everybody thinks he should be, if Jameson Taillon is what everybody thinks they should be, if they're sure they have a closer, if Tyler Glasnow, good young arm, is ready to be a big league pitcher, all of a sudden they could be pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's one of those, it all has to happen.
Yeah. Boy, Paul White with us. Great to have him here in Surprise talking about the National League. Gong, the shortstop third baseman, got his third DUI. Now, he got a suspended sentence. I must commend his lawyer, whoever that was. That's usually a minimum of 120 days in jail. But he somehow got a suspended sentence. But as you point out, in Korea, this is a big deal, and let's see how this affects him. And I don't know if baseball will do anything as well.
Well, yeah, you have to wait and see if baseball is going to give him some punishment. But there's a cultural thing at play here, and I really learned about it more several years ago. Shin-Soo Choo, the outfielder who at the time was with Cleveland, went into a massive slump. And Manny Acton was the manager there at the time. We were talking about it, and Manny said, I think it's because of his DUI. He had a DUI in Cleveland. As these things go on, I'm not trying to belittle this at all. It was a relatively minor situation. He was pulled over in a routine traffic check. There was nothing obvious. just over the limit, but obviously it's serious offense, and it
should
important.
Have called me. He should have called me. Just over the limit. I was okay with those.
But Acta said that Chu would spend every waking hour on the internet trying to find out what was being said about him back in Korea, because he felt shamed. He felt he let down his country. And culturally, this was incredibly important to him. And I talked to him about it after the fact, and he admitted it. He said, I was a basket case. I was a wreck. My wife had to just, like, tell me, just stop looking. You're driving yourself crazy. You've paid your price. You've done what you've been asked to do. He was doing community service and everything. She said, okay, you've got to move on. But it was so difficult for him culturally. I mean, I don't know Gung personally, but, you know, could that be a factor for him?
Boy, so all right, so we got the Mets in Washington. Mm-hmm. St. Louis, I think, is finally going to meet their Waterloo. I think finally something's going to catch up with them. I think Luke Weaver was on the injured list this week. I saw something about him. Pittsburgh, it's a lot of ifs of young players having to do things, and the McCutcheon situation has got to play out, moving him out of center field, probably moving him out of Pittsburgh at some point.
If they're not in it, he's gone.
I like Clint Hurdle, and I like the way they do everything. I like their staff, but I think that's going to be trouble. And then here, we'll touch on it, Colorado. And I realize Buddy Black is there. I know Colorado. We say this every year. But you look at the team they put on the field, and they do have a bullpen now of a lot of people. Maybe this is the year that Colorado at least contends, as opposed to, wins a thing.
Well,
88 wins, 86 maybe.
If you count out Pittsburgh and St. Louis, it's done in the National League. We know who the five playoff teams are, theoretically. So, you look around. Who is the other team? Colorado can hit their way into it. You're right. I mean, Arenado and LeMahieu and Gonzalez. It just goes on and on and on. Yeah. It's, it could be back to, 12-11 Blake Street Bomber days again. Can you sustain that? The Phillies, I think, are a very interesting team. A lot of great young arms that they've assembled since the changeover in management there. How soon are those guys ready? The rule of thumb is, when you think you got a great young pitching staff, wait a year or two, and then you'll be good. But they've got Vince Velasquez, Aaron Nola, Jared Eichhoff. They got a couple.
Hellickson's still there?
Yeah, Hellickson, a couple of veterans to throw in there. Maybe, if they can take advantage of one of these other teams stumbling, it all falls into place. They've improved their lineup some. There's some reasonable guys there. No, you can't realistically pick them as a playoff team. But if you're looking for that team, that might be it, like Colorado.
Phillies. All right, Paul, great to have you. And I want to meet Lisa. She's here. And congratulations on your son and the soccer. And we'll have you on all the holidays. You know that.
I'm ready.
Every holiday, opening day, and then every holiday you're on with us as well. So it's great to see you here.
Good to be here, Marty.
All right. Thank you. That's Paul White of USA Today, where he was. Now he's retired. But obviously you can still see him on certain projects that he does there. Shout-out birthday today. Shalina Goldman says, Marty, it's my mom, Tina Goldman's birthday today, and I'm sure she would love to get a birthday shout-out from you. Have a great day. So happy birthday, Tina Goldman. And we're very glad to say that. And after 20 years of talking baseball, Marty's in mid-season form on March the 4th. Sounding good, buddy. And that is from Patrick Pecan, my buddy. And you're right, Pat. And always fun to hear. I can't wait for those shows. I tell you that. I was talking to you yesterday. Carmen and Allie were there, and talking about you and how these things work out. And I don't know, there's just something special about the family out at the Public House. And I'm very happy for you and Michelle and all the nice things you've done this year. Good man. All right, more coming up. Steve Stewart's going to join us. He is one of the play-by-play voices of the Kansas City Royals. And we'll get a little bit of a preview of what's up with him right after this.
Talking baseball with Marty.